I'm going to start with a story. So last fall, I had a chance to visit Switzerland, and I was taking my daughter to school in Germany. She did a little bit of a Bible program in Germany, and I invited a friend, and we decided to spend a few days in Switzerland before we dropped her off. And so we love to hike, this friend and I, and so of course we're in the Alps, and so you know you're going to go on a hike. And so we're staying in this valley, and you have to take a train. So we started on this train up this beautiful hillside, and then you hop on a gondola, which takes you up a steeper portion of the mountainside, and we're anticipating the views. We're imagining Sound of Music, epic drama, Alps. We're going to sing. My friend had been practicing cartwheels for weeks because we were going to make videos. And as we are ascending in the gondola, the view changes, and it goes from green hills and beauty to this other view. I got you guys a picture because I couldn't really describe it. This is what it looked like. And we had gone into a fog bank. And I was hoping, and I should have known better because I lived in San Francisco for years. I'm like, we're going to come out on the other side. We're going to like pop out and it's going to be great. There was no popping out. So we got off the gondola and this is just what it looks like. And we get to the trailhead and this is what it looks like. And we're trying to decide what to do. We're like, well, we came all this way, let's just do it. So we start hiking, and this is what you can see. And it was called the Panorama Trail, and we were at about 7,300 feet is where it began, and we're surrounded by Alps at about 13,000 feet, like three well-known peaks that people go to see. And this was our view. So we decided to keep on going because we'd gone all that way. And as we were hiking, I just kept on thinking to myself, you know, just because I can't see it doesn't mean they're not there. Right? They're right there. We'd seen the picture, so it like you're really close. Just over and over again. Just because I can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. And we passed these two women, and you could tell this was their morning jaunt. They do this every Tuesday. They're chatting along and walking, and they're like, don't give up. It's going to come through. We're like, okay. Fog. You could see the trail. You could hear cows and bells, but that was it. So it has been about 8 months since we did that hike, and I have thought of it so many times in this season of my life. And here at Emmaus, we've been considering the doctrines of the early church that were shaped around the table. And what we're considering today is God's presence, that he is always with us. And when we're walking with God, we don't get the whole view, but his presence is there, whether you see it or not. Oftentimes, we cannot see past the fog. Pastor Nate, when was speaking about provision a couple of weeks ago, he was like, provision is one of those things we almost take for granted. I feel like God's presence is the same way. We assume that it's there, but we don't actually always live like God's presence is always with us. So I'm going to jump around a little bit today, but we're going to spend a lot of time in Psalm 23. And this chapter has been so dear to me now for several years. There are a lot of songs that use the words from this chapter as their lyrics, and we'll probably sing one today, but I've listened to this one version so often on repeat. It was like my number one Spotify rap. If you're on Spotify, it was like the number one song in 2025. Based on 2026, it's probably going to be number one again. It has been so dear to me. So as we read it today, my hope for you is that the assurance that I have gotten from God's presence, from the words in this chapter, the comfort, the assurance, the encouragement that I've gotten day after day after day, for years now, my hope and my prayer is that you get a sense of God's assurance that he is with you as well as you walk with him. And that is my hope for you today. So if you want to, you can read with me Psalm 23, but the words will be up on the screen too. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And like many people, I love the imagery in this passage. Jesus is our shepherd. And a shepherd's main work, his main job, is to be present with his sheep. And so we see God's intention here towards us. With God as our shepherd, he leads, he restores, and he guides us in the path of righteousness, meaning he transforms us to bring honor to his name, to be more like him. It's a good path. His presence initiates our very ability to walk with him, but we choose how we respond. So if God's role is to lead and to guide and to restore, then our role is to be led, to be transformed, and to be restored. We have a part in it. But the very beginning, it's the presence of God that compels us to follow him right from the beginning. And so why does God's presence matter? Because if we miss this ability to respond, if we miss the response, if we miss the ability to where we can be compelled to follow him, then we might mistake the good behavior or good morals with walking and following God. But that's not the point. I went to a private Christian school, and they handed out every year a Christian character award. And my mom had a whole shelf of precious moments. Like, the young people don't know what those are, but the rest of you do, right? They were a big deal in Christian culture, these little cute things, and like little figurines. And every year I got a new precious moment because I was always winning the Christian character award. I was a really good kid. But really, I just worked good in school. I'm a people pleaser. I like to do things well. And so they passed that thing out to me. I was not chatty. I was quiet. I did really well there. But my character was based on my personality. It wasn't because I was transformed by God. So if you miss the presence of God, we want to be responding to him, not just behaving. I think about that all the time when we're teaching the Bible to our kids in our classes. So many lessons end with a moral virtue, which is good. We need to learn how to behave, all those things. But we want it to be the fruit of our walk with God, not just trying to get things right. So walking with God and the presence of God is less about our behavior and more about how we respond to the shepherd, how he leads, how he restores, and how he guides us. So we see in the New Testament that the crowds gathered around Jesus all the time. They were compelled to follow him. He was captivating everywhere he went. And this part in the verse where it talks about green pastures, it reminds me of the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 on the hillside and with loaves and fishes, does this amazing miracle. And the disciples sit everyone down and they have this great meal. So right after that beautiful story where Jesus does that, three of the Gospels tell this story, this next story next. And I'm just going to summarize it for you. It comes from Mark 6. It'll probably be familiar to you. But Jesus sends his disciples into a boat to cross a lake while he dismisses the crowd, and then he goes to pray. Late that night, the disciples are in the middle of the lake, and it says the wind picks up, and they are struggling with the oars. Jesus, after praying, has started walking on the lake, and the passage says that it is with the intention to pass them by and to go to the other side. But he sees them, they see him, and they're terrified, and they think he's a ghost. So Jesus quickly comforts them. He climbs in the boat. He says, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." He climbs into the boat, and the winds die down. And then there's this little verse. It says, "They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened." And when I read that, I'm like, why are we talking about the loaves? This is the next Bible story, right? Even the winds and the waves obey him. I had all these other lessons I'm supposed to get from that Bible story. But there's this line here. So I'm like, well, what does that even need? And this year, I've been reading the Gospels in different translations. Every month, I'll start over with a different translation. And one of the translations uses this sentence that I have been, I think it's hysterical. It's the Message. And so Jesus will be talking to his disciples, and he will say, "Are you willfully stupid?" And I have so many times I've read that and been like, yes, Jesus, I am. I don't mean to be. Yes, I'm just willfully stupid. So when the Bible is talking about they had not understood because their hearts were hardened, it is not because they were closed off to God. They were just kind of dumb. They weren't getting it. They saw this amazing miracle with the loaves and the bread. They've been walking with Jesus, and then they see him on the water. But they're completely missing, their immediate need was met when he calmed the waves and they didn't die. But they missed all along that he's God, and he was with them. And the presence of God was with the disciples before they ever saw Jesus walk across that water. He never left them. He was with them from the very beginning. And yet they're not living that way. They're freaked out. The presence of God doesn't leave us in a boat for a while and then show up to rescue us when we need it. It's with us from the very beginning. God is not limited by space, by time. He is ever present, everywhere, all the time. The word we sometimes hear is omnipresence. And sometimes how we talk about God's presence can reveal kind of what we're really thinking about it. Like, oh, maybe if we pray just right, the presence of God will show up. Or maybe if we do things a certain way, we're going to wait on the presence of God, which is a beautiful way to think about it. Like, yes, of course we want the presence of God, but the presence of God was here all along. And we just need eyes to see it. We need eyes to hearts that are responsive and aware of that. So let's get back to our psalm. He says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And in our lives, that transition between green pastures and dark valleys can happen really fast. For the disciples, it went from loaves and fishes to wind and waves. It was real for them, it's real for us. But here's what I notice in the passage. Even in the darkest valley, that the table is still set. Right there in the presence of our enemies and the seat of danger, Jesus prepared a table before us. He is a good host, and he is not bothered by our enemies. Hardship has a place in our formation. And when we're walking with God, there's some work in the care and the shaping of us that can only be learned when we're seated at that table, walking through those dark valleys. We often want to run away or escape or make things easier. Comfort is so attractive, but comfort will not make you strong, and comfort will not strengthen you. And Jesus needs strong disciples. We need to be strong for this world that we live in. As parents, we know the value of raising our kids to be capable and competent. We, like, teach them things along the way so they grow. We have this running joke in our family. It's kind of between me and my middle school kid. He has a bike, like a pedal bike, where you pedal and it goes. There's no electricity involved. It's a normal pace. And he doesn't complain about it. Our kids ride their bikes. At this age, our kids ride their bikes to school. He's just made an observation that he feels like most other kids have an electric bike or an electric scooter. You've probably seen them around. You probably have feelings about them. But anyway, when it's a little bit dark, he rides his bike. When it's cold, he rides his bike. If it's raining, he rides his bike. If it's pouring, we might give him a ride. Like, we're pretty committed to our kids riding their bikes to school because we live in the suburbs, and the suburbs are way too comfortable. And what else are they going to do? Like, live in the AC? So anyway, I just yell kind of hysterically, and he doesn't mind. I'm like, well, do you want to be soft or do you want to be strong? That's what I say as he rides off. Do you want to be soft or do you want to be strong? And no offense, if your kids ride electric bikes, it's fine. I'm not judging you. But this kid of ours, he plays football, he wrestles. Strength matters in his life. And so put on the heavy backpack, get on the bike, and get to school. Your electric bike would do you no favors in this situation. But how we get strong is by working through hardship. And so how do we do it? How do we sit at these tables with enemies and dark valleys? And there's so much to say about this, completely different sermon series, but I'll just give you one verse today in regards to the presence of God in these moments. Jesus does not set the table and walk away. So where is God in this? And I want to share Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. The presence of God is not just with us. The presence of God is in us, enabling us to walk through dark valleys. Dark valleys are not our end. We walk through them. And to sit in the presence of enemies, not flee, not run, not cower, not escape, but to sit with God. So we can ask, God, how can I be faithful to you in this season? Let's not be dull or unaware or willfully stupid and miss that he is in every hard place. He's in the car, he's in the classroom, he's at the job, he's in that relationship, he's in that marriage. Wherever you are, God is with you. And if we continue on in Psalm 23, it says, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." If you're ever wondering what the presence of God looks like in your life, it looks like goodness and mercy. It looks like goodness and love. I asked a group of 9-year-olds recently where they felt God's encouragement or care for them in the week, and they didn't have a lot of specific things to share. They could point to verses and stories and things that they knew. They were doing a beautiful job with the question that they had learned about God. Well, we know the Bible says this. It was great. They're offering all the, we know that God does this. We know this. And they're telling us different stories. But they didn't have a lot to share, like personally, of how they would recognize God's presence in their very own lives. And I realized that's something we need to learn to do. It's something we need to practice. And we need to go from knowing God is with us to noticing that God is with us. And the Bible says, all the days of my life. So not one season, not one moment is excluded from this promise of Jesus being with us. C.S. Lewis has this great quote. I found it and I loved it. I put it on your notes. He said, "We may ignore, but we can nowhere evade the presence of God. The world is crowded with him. He walks everywhere incognito, and the incognito is not always hard to penetrate. The real labor is to remember, to attend, in fact, to come awake. Still more, to remain awake." We need to notice. So here's a few thoughts to consider today. Jesus is present even when we cannot see him. You can just say to yourself, just because I cannot see him does not mean he's not there. Friends, as you do the work around the table in this season of your life, trust that God is at work in your life. I was talking to a friend the other day and kind of catching her up on all these things that had happened to us in the last year, and she said to me, "Can't you see that God's at work?" And honestly, I don't know that I could have in that moment, but I'm like, "Oh yeah." She's like, "Can't you see that God is at work?" And so trust that whatever you're doing, God is at work in your life, and God is at work in the lives around you, especially the people you're welcoming at your table in this season. So Jesus is present even when we cannot see him. The presence of your enemies does not negate the presence of God in your life. The presence of your enemies does not negate the presence of God in your life. God is right there in the storm, at the table. He is with you. Remember Jesus' response to the disciples when they were in trouble. It is, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." And then finally, train yourself to notice God's presence, his goodness and love, his goodness and mercy every day. And realize that as you set these tables, as you are led, as you are restored, as you are guided along his path, that you may be his evidence of goodness and love to somebody else. Your work may be God's goodness and mercy at play in somebody else's life. Okay, so back to Switzerland. At the end of the trail, you make it up to what they call the Queen's Crown. And it's like this little deck, and you're supposed to see the mountains. And we're standing up there looking at the view, and it's probably like with 10 or 15 other people. And then all of a sudden, the clouds, the fog just, whoosh, it just drops. Just enough. Where we don't get the whole view, but we get this, like, top of the peaks. This is what it looked like. These pictures, I almost didn't want to show them because it doesn't even begin to do it justice. But as we're standing there, literally the whole crowd on the deck all gasped. Like, we were so amazed. And then we just stood there with our jaws on the ground. You can, it's kind of hard to see, but you can, there's that little trail. That's what we were walking on, where you could literally see nothing but fog. And then off in the distance were these three peaks. It was worth the hike. It was worth the fog. For the few short minutes we got, we hiked back down that trail and then went several more miles to a different gondola. And we were in the fog the entire time. Every once in a while, a little, like a cloud would move, and he'd be like, look, and then your friend would turn around to look, and it would be gone. So it was kind of like hide and seek all the way there. I will say, because we couldn't see the mountains, like you noticed every little wildflower on the trail. It was actually kind of special. I probably would never have noticed the flowers if I'd been looking at the peak. So there's always something there. The world is crowded with him. It was worth the hike. It was worth the fog for the short minutes we got. Those mountains were always there. We were in their shadow. And like C.S. Lewis said, we sometimes get glimpses of a greater revelation of God's presence. We sometimes get these moments and attend to those moments in our hearts. The world is crowded with him. So I'm going to pray. God, may we be attentive to your presence all around us and in us every single day. We want to be disciples who are led by you, who respond to you, who are restored. God, don't let us miss you this week. Don't let us miss you today. Amen. Amen. If you want to stand with me,